In St. Mark's account that we just heard, the account of Jesus' ascension into heaven, we hear that directive clearly. It's an instruction for all of us. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And baptize them. And in that first reading from Acts, we heard, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what happened with the church. And this church that had never existed before, after Jesus' resurrection and the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, burst forth out into the world. It was a surprisingly religious world they went into. Not an atheist world, but a very religious world. And many people are religious and they want to believe in God, but they didn't know Jesus Christ. I want to show you how something very similar happened in Mexico 500 years ago. And that's why we have the image here. When the Spanish conquistadors with Hernan Cortes entered Mexico in 1519, took them 2 years to conquer the land, 200 soldiers, and they conquered a very civilized people of an estimated 10 million people. They don't know if it's 10 to 20 million people at the time, but a highly advanced and civilized and very religious society. But this society had its dark side. This Aztec society was very religious because the Mexican people are very religious. They're one of the most religious on planet Earth. But their religion involved human sacrifice. And not just one or two a year. They think that even as late as 1531, there were still 10,000 human sacrifices occurring in the valley of Mexico, in the center of Mexico. Hernan Cortes writes about it, and it was a horrible thing that they encountered. Now, what their impression was that they were, when the Spanish entered Mexico, what they thought they encountered was a pagan, polytheistic, devil-worshipping people. It was revolting to them. Not made any easier by the fact that these two cultures could not understand each other. The languages were different, the cultures were so incredibly different, they didn't even know how to talk with each other. Their whole forms of communication, the Spanish and the Europeans had a written language. The language of this advanced Aztec people was in pictographs, much like the Egyptians. They got their communication from one generation to the next of all their art and science and beliefs and history was in graphs, in graphical depiction and pictures. Very important symbols that they used. Well, after 10 years in the New Spain and what we call Mexico, here's what existed. There had not been very many baptisms after 10 years. They only had 40 catechists, if you can imagine. 10 years. Imagine the United States and somebody came in and conquered us and destroyed all our churches, destroyed our government, destroyed everything that our fathers taught us to believe in that we thought was true. We didn't have places of worship. We were told our religion was bunk. Worse than that, it's devil worship. What you found in 1531 was a melancholy, so deeply ingrained into the people, a depression, a cultural depression. No hope. They'd lost everything. They were now subject to a foreign king with a foreign religion and nothing familiar to them, they were told, counted for anything. They were in a pretty terrible situation as a people. And they were still practicing their religion on the sly, and there were still some 10,000 human sacrifices in that area. But the Spanish tore down all their temples, ran off all their priests or killed them, and it was a pretty sad place for them. Into this sad story came Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1531. In 20 years, it will have been exactly 500 years since that happened. Now, we make a mistake, even in our culture, of misunderstanding her as a 16th century antique relic, a religious relic. Boy, do we miss the point, much like the Spanish missed the point. And she corrected the point. This is a gospel. This is a living gospel, not written with words, but written in their language and they understood it. It's a living word. It's a living language. If you spend time with it, you will begin to see what they saw in December 1531. Let me just show you some things about it. We have a beautiful sculpture image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's been here since the construction of the church. It was made 40 years ago in an artist's studio by human hands. This was made 500 years ago. This is the replica, the exact precise replica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the way it hangs today on the tomb of Juan Diego in the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. There have been so many replicas suggested to the artist's interpretation that are all over the world now that the bishops of Mexico for 500 years have felt it necessary to always have available copies that have the imprimatur on them that say this is an exact duplicate. Father Victor and I have been in this parish for 2 years and we look at each other and we say there is no exact duplicate in the entire parish, not in the Guadalupe Chapel, not in any of the rooms or buildings. We don't have one until this one came. And I want to prove to you what's here. If you would come up whenever you're comfortable after Mass and come and examine, and you will see if it's an exact duplicate, it has the imprimatur of the Cardinal Archbishop of Mexico City, because the basilica is in his archdiocese. And this is a tradition that's been going on for generations. This one has a second imprimatur in the second left-hand, in the left-hand corner, and this is from Monsignor Monroy, who is the current rector of the Basilica in Mexico City. So this one bears two. And what they're saying is, this is a faithful, reliable image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, why do I say it's a gospel? Remember what I said, that the Spanish thought they encountered the people that were polytheistic, meaning they had many gods. Mary understood, no, that's not right. They don't have many gods. So here's what she's saying. And they got the message. I have heard your cry. I know that you are a very deeply religious people. And I know that you are monotheists, not polytheists. Fancy words. It means I know you believe in the one God. But he's not the Son. And some tribes had different symbols for the one God. Some were the sun, some were the moon, some were the stars. But it's not the moon either. And this little person down here holding up the hem of her cloak is revealing her foot standing on the moon. It's not the moon. Well, some people said it was the star. Different tribes had different symbols that were prominent in that in these individual cultures. There's more than one culture in the heart of Mexico. And she's wearing the heavens. It's not the stars. Some thought it was certain types of flowers that indicated the one God, the sun God. And she's wearing the cover of the earth on her. She has the earth and the moon and the stars and the sun, and she is the prominent person. But she's not a goddess. And anybody who comes to look at her, gaze on her, says, no, this woman's not a goddess. She's, in fact, at prayer. And very soon you notice something else. You say, she's not only at prayer. She's pregnant. Encinta is how they always spoke about being pregnant in the Spanish language in Mexico. She's encinta. She has that belt high on her abdomen. And they would have noticed, gazing after a while, that only one time does the four-petaled flower appear right on top of her abdomen, right here. That's the symbol of the sun in flower form. They would have noticed that all of the flowers are rooted in the heavens, that all the flowers lead back, that come from the heavens. And pretty soon their eyes would have been drawn to what we refer to as the Angelito of Guadalupe, the Angel of Guadalupe. And they didn't know what an angel was in their art. That's a European concept. Little babies, little cherubs with dove wings, baby face. They wouldn't have known what that would have been in art. That's a European concept. In 1531, what they saw is what this here. This is no baby. He's got a receding hairline. He's got an older face, a mature face. And the wings, those are eagle wings, those aren't dove wings. And it has colors, earth colors, Mexican colors, the inspiration for the Mexican flag. This is the spirit of the people of Mexico rising up and revealing her foot on the moon. And she's affirming, no, it's this little person is saying, the spirit of the people of Mexico saying, it's not the moon either. There's a story here. It's a gospel. Now, she's affirming the church. Her message was to Juan Diego, go to the bishop. She's supporting the church. Tell the bishop, I know you don't have a temple. I want one right here. She knew they needed a place to worship. And they weren't going to the European houses of worship. I want one right here. That's where the Basilica of Guadalupe is today. Jesus said in his gospel, go and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth and baptize. There had only been a few tens of thousands of baptisms in the 10 years among these 10 to 20 million people in Mexico. And they had continued their human sacrifices. It was embedded in their religion. This is evil. As soon as she appeared, the human sacrifices stopped. Within 5 years, there were 5 million baptisms. By 1548, they had registered 9 million baptisms. There's a letter from one priest of that time, one of the 40 catechists that existed at that time, dated 1536, and he said, "My partner and I, in 5 days, baptized over 14,000 people. I don't know how I would baptize 14,000 people, even with 10 priests helping me. The baptisms were coming fast. The church in Rome had not seen this type of baptism movement since the first century. Pope Paul III, who was the Pope at the time of 1536, issued a bull, a papal bull, we can still read it today, and he says, "I am concerned about shortening the baptismal formula and catechism. Don't do it." In other words, the baptisms were coming so fast. People were shortening things and looking for shortcuts. And the Pope saying, don't do that. Catechize properly. Do the sacraments correctly. You hear the tension of the numbers of people coming into the church and the church trying to maintain. Stay to the truth. Stay to the truth. And she's supporting the church. Go to the bishop, talk to the bishop, build a church right here. Now, what did the bishop see when he saw the image? He saw the book of Revelation. If you go to the book of Revelation, you will see what the bishop saw. In his culture, in his European Christian culture, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon and the stars, and bearing a child. Beautiful. This is a gospel. It's a living gospel. It didn't just have that effect in 1531. It is a living gospel today. What we have in Mexico City is a shrine, the Basilica, where they have 14 million pilgrims every year. Bishop Monroy gave a talk that I attended, and he said, "We keep track of the number of pilgrims as best we can, and we receive an average of about 14 million pilgrims every year." And we were curious. We looked at the other places where there are Marian shrines on planet Earth, Fatima, Lourdes. Take all of them, Częstochowa, you name them all, add them all up. They don't come to 14 million. And they come from all over the world to Mexico City. Our Lady is a living evangelist. Unfortunately, when we get lost off in other images, we lose contact with the gospel. It'd be like somebody trying to dumb down the Bible for us. There are beautiful, inspired images and artwork inspired by Our Lady of Guadalupe. I urge you to always insist on making sure that the church has the image with the imprimatur. The bishops were concerned enough to say, "We need to always have these. Otherwise, the artists will carry us off with interpretations that may easily miss the point." The true message of God is today, as Jesus is in our gospel today, the instruction we have to go to all peoples, to the ends of the earth, spread the gospel, tell them about the Son of God, tell them about Jesus Christ, and baptize. She is a fabulous evangelist, and we have a great deal to learn from her. How does she evangelize? That's one of the most interesting things of all. And I hope you've gotten now the story that the way Mary evangelizes is she listens. She has a listening heart. And she corrected the Spanish who saw things incorrectly. And all of a sudden, the church was the recipient of people who had been affirmed by Mary. This is our faith. It's not just Anglo or Irish or French or Italian, and the language isn't always written in ABC, and this is a living proof.